Today is the third part in the series, the 23rd Psalm Shepherd. And the first part we went through and looked at passages from Jeremiah and Ezekiel where God was giving warnings to the shepherds or the pastors about what they're supposed to do and how that they were going to stand accountable to Him if they did not do what they were supposed to do. And the warnings were very severe. And out of all of the ministries in the Bible, there are three that stand out the most as far as God identifying them as being in big trouble if they mess up. One is the prophet, one is the shepherd or the pastor, and the other is the teacher. And in what we're looking at here in the 23rd Psalm, this is a pattern for what all pastors should be. Now, it's a short psalm, I know that, but by the time we're finished with this, you're going to see a whole lot more in it than maybe what you had seen before, because the 23rd Psalm has always been taught from the perspective of the relationship between the Christian and Jesus Christ. Well, that's true. I'm not saying that that's wrong. That is true. And it is a reflection of that. But there's a message in the message, if you will. So in the first part, we were talking about how the Lord has given some very stern warnings to the pastors. The pastor, more than anyone, touches the body of Christ. More than the apostle, more than the prophet, more than the evangelist. You know, those ministries are very vital and they're very important, but generally speaking, they come and they go within the structure of the church. You might have somebody come in and minister for a week or two and then they leave, but the pastor is always there. And this is one of the reasons why it is so important for the pastor to do what God instructs the pastor to do. And you can go ahead and open up to Psalm 23. We began looking at the very first verse where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we took a look there at the very first part of that first verse where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in that, we identified the fact that we have to have a position wherein the Lord truly is our shepherd. It's one thing to be born again, but it's another thing for the Lord to truly be your shepherd. You know, Jesus talks about how my sheep know my voice. A lot of people aren't around their shepherd long enough to recognize his voice. And the proof of that is how many people have come to me over the years, have been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit for decades, asking me, how can I hear God's voice? Well, that right there identifies a real problem. And it's not so much the problem is with the individual as it is with the teaching that's existed in the body of Christ relative to how we can hear God's voice. So he says in here, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, I'm not going to reteach all of this, but in Scripture, we see that God has established his church, and then we have like these local fellowships where we are today. So there's the church, and then you have the local fellowships, which follows the pattern of shepherding in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. Well, each flock is to have a shepherd. The Lord is the shepherd, but then you have what you might call under-shepherds. As a pastor of a church would be considered the shepherd of that flock, but he would be considered an under-shepherd to Jesus Christ. In the Bible, it talks about how that God has established ministries, and one of these ministries is the pastor. Well, when you understand about the function of the pastor and the role of the pastor, and you can begin to see how in Scripture that every Christian needs that type of ministry in their life. A shepherd cannot shepherd if the sheep do not submit to the shepherd. A shepherd cannot fulfill what he's called to do if the sheep aren't around for the shepherd to do what the shepherd's supposed to do. It just can't happen. Just like, you know, we can call ourselves Christians, but if we don't hang around Jesus long enough, he's not going to be able to do in our lives what we want him to and what he needs to do in our lives. We talked about how that in the kingdom, you know, our rights are very limited. Basically, we don't have rights. We have privileges. And in the kingdom of God, Jesus is the chief shepherd. Well, the shepherd, the local shepherd, needs to understand his responsibility to be in submission to Jesus, the chief shepherd. And if he doesn't do that, then he is out of order. Many times you have shepherds of local churches who are in submission to a council or to a board or to a committee or to a denomination or what have you. When that's the case, then Jesus Christ truly, truly is not your shepherd. Because when you get instructions from the chief shepherd, you have to get approval from this other structure, the denomination, the council, the committee, and so on and so forth. And likewise, within the church itself, the sheep, when Jesus Christ is truly your shepherd, you do not have the right to leave one church and go to another church. I want to make this very clear. You can't do that. Do you hear me? You can't. You are forbidden. You cannot leave church number one and go to church number two just because you don't like something the shepherd did. Are you listening to this? It's against the law. That's kind of dramatic. But remember, if Jesus Christ is your chief shepherd and he has put you under the care of a local church and a local under-shepherd, you are forbidden to leave that church until the chief shepherd gives you direction to leave that church and go to another flock. And that time can come. And that time may never come. But what do you have? You have people that hop from one church to the other because, you know, they got this program, they've got this choir, they've got this thing here. I don't like the way they handle the business. I don't like the way they handle the business meetings. I don't like the way they do this. I don't like the way they do that. I don't like the fact that this happens. I don't like... Tough. Get over yourself. Listen, you want it done right? Then you start your own church and you do it the way that you think it ought to be done. Forget about Jesus. Forget about God. Forget about the Bible, the Holy Ghost. You know, you just do your own thing. That won't be blessed. By the way, that happens a lot too. You know that?
Bless God, I'm going to leave here and go down and start my own church. Pastor's holding me back.
You don't have permission from God Himself to leave the church where He has placed you and go to another church unless He's the one that tells you it's time to leave. It's a major problem in the body of Christ. Major problem. I mean, we've run into that here. People have had issues with me. You know, whether you like me or whether you don't like me, if God's put you here, you better learn to like me. But the reverse is true. If God has put you here, I better learn to like you. We need to get along here. Because there's a divine purpose in this. A divine purpose that goes beyond our personalities. But now, along with that, the 23rd Psalm shepherd, he does not have the right to leave the church, the flock, where the chief shepherd has placed him, just because he thinks there are greener pastures somewhere else. In denominations, you know what they talk about, the pastors? See, unless you've been a part of the denominational structure and hung around the pastors and so forth, you may not know this. One of the things they talk about when they get together, how many are you running and what are your offerings? They talk about, that's what they want to know. And sometimes Pastor Joe and Pastor Bob get to talking, and Pastor Joe, he's just, you know, had it up to here, and Pastor Bob, he's had it up to here. They like a change of scenery, so they trade churches. This goes on all the time. You, as a pastor, you don't have the right. Again, it's against the law to do that, the chief shepherd's law. You can't do that. I don't care if the church is only running two people. If this is where the chief shepherd has placed you, you stick it out. You stay. He's got you there for a divine purpose. And just because another church someplace decides that, you know, they want to, you know, bring you on and they like what you do, or you went and you preached there and you didn't realize that they were having you come in and preach to audition for their open pastorate, and then they offer the job to you and they're going to pay you, you know, $300,000. That's salary. That doesn't include your housing allowance. And they're going to give you a car, and they're going to give you this, and they're going to give you that, and all these things. That can be pretty doggone attractive. How many of you would like somebody dangling that kind of money in front of you? Now, I don't know this to be true, but I'm only guessing that a bunch of you would jump at it. Shame on you. Shame on you. What's the chief shepherd want you to do?
Well, I got a job offer in Oregon. I think I'm going to take it.
Well, what's the chief shepherd say? Well, I wouldn't have such a good job offer if it weren't from God.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You think it's any big deal for Satan to try to manipulate things so that somebody will offer you a $300,000 salary just to get you out of the will of God? He doesn't care. What's $300,000 to him when he's got drug dealers raking in millions to his kingdom? Pastors do not have the right to leave the church where the chief shepherd has placed them. Denominations have no clue about this. None. And the neo-denominations have no clue about this. Because what they'll do is they'll move pastors all over the place. Pastor gets tired of where he is, so he contacts headquarters. You got any openings? I mean, you know, I'm in my 50s now, and you know, my wife and I have always talked about wanting to retire to Florida. Are there any churches open in Florida? Happens all the time. All the time. You don't have that right. If the chief shepherd wants you pastoring a church of polar bears at the North Pole, then bless God, you go. And you stay there until the chief shepherd tells you it's time to leave. Like I shared with you before, God didn't call me to build a church. He called me to build His kingdom and people. That's what He's called me to do. My responsibility is not to build a church. A chief shepherd does not have the responsibility to build a church. It's to build the kingdom of God. It's His kingdom. It's to build the sheep that are in the fold. That's what he's supposed to do. A lot of chief shepherds don't want to hear this. Listen, when pastors get together, they talk about things. The things they don't talk about from the pulpit. The things they don't share to the parishioners. You simply would not believe the war stories out there. It's horrible. And through this series, maybe I'll share some of those. Might even get one or two in today. But it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now look at the very next thing here. It says, I shall not want. Well, what does that mean? What's it say? I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now listen to this. Relative to the local church, the pastor is my under-shepherd, okay? Just for the sake of teaching, I shall not want. What that means is the 23rd Psalm shepherd has a responsibility to fulfill the second part of verse 1. So that the people say, I shall not want. Because I have a 23rd Psalm shepherd, I shall not want. Now somebody says, well, yeah, but man, I've got a lot of wants in my life. The thing you need to keep in mind is that this is spiritual before it's ever close to being natural. You shall not have any spiritual... Listen, if the 23rd Psalm shepherd is doing what he's supposed to do, you're not going to have any spiritual wants. You say, well, I got plenty of spiritual wants. Well, by the time we're finished with this series, you'll understand what this means. But I want to clue you in on something. It says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now look here in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what's contained in verses 2 through 6? Every single want being met. It's right here. If there was a need for more, we'd have had a verse 7 and a verse 8. But we don't. Every single want is met right here in verses 2 through 6. But it is spiritual before it is natural. And this is another issue in the body of Christ that can become very, very confusing to a lot of people, because oftentimes the shepherds try to focus on the natural wants and needs than on the spiritual wants and needs. Meaning, they try to be everything to everybody. I'll give you an example. This is not meant to upset anybody, but when I first came into this building, as the pastor of this fellowship, there were hints dropped in my lap about what Pastor so-and-so had done and what Pastor so-and-so had, you know, did this and did that and so on and so forth. And what it was a lot of stuff to where, now let me just, I'll create something that wasn't said so that nobody here starts feeling any kind of anything, okay? Well, you know, Pastor Joe, I mean, he came over and changed the oil on my car. Well, you know, Pastor Joe, he came over and helped me do the brake job on my truck. Well, you know, Pastor Bob, he came over and he cut our grass. And raked it. Watered the flowers. Took the dog for a walk. Now, those are not things that were said to me. Other things were. Okay? You kind of understand what I'm getting at. In other words, there was an expectation by people that I would get involved in their natural lives to see to it that natural things were done for them in their day-to-day lives. A lot of pastors believe that's what they're supposed to do. It's not. Now, this is going to maybe rub against, you know, the fur the wrong way for some people. A pastor does not have, the shepherd does not have the responsibility. We're talking about the order of responsibilities here, okay? The primary responsibility for the shepherd, the 23rd Psalm shepherd, is not to see to it that everybody in the church has a hamburger. To not see to it that everybody in the church has gas in their gas tank. To not see to it that everybody in the church has their bills paid. To not see to it that they all have nice clothes to wear. That is not the responsibility of the shepherd. But, and there are a lot of other examples we could use, and you guys know this, but there are a lot of churches that the people think that's what's supposed to be done. That all the natural stuff is supposed to be done. And you've got a lot of shepherds who believe the same thing. Now, listen, I'm not saying that the shepherd never mingles with, here's what was said, one of the things that was said to me. The shepherd needs to smell like the sheep. The shepherd needs, some of you guys probably heard this before, shepherd needs to smell. Well, he does. And you know why? It's because he has to come in behind the sheep and clean up the messes they leave behind. Because they don't clean up after themselves. And so the shepherd has to come in behind and clean all this. That's why he smells like the sheep. It smells worse than the sheep. They leave their mess and go on. This isn't about whether or not the shepherd ever has dinner with people or ever fellowships with people. That is not what this is about. This is about the shepherd believing that he is supposed to do for the people. Touch the people. Now, there's a difference between ministering to the people and trying to be everything to the people. There's a huge difference in this. If you have a shepherd who is constantly, constantly involved in the day-to-day lives of the people, you got a shepherd who is completely out of order relative to what God expects. Because in the 23rd Psalm, this example that we're seeing, everything in here, I know these are natural examples. And as we go through this later, through the series, you'll understand some of the things that these represent. But this is spiritual. Everything is spiritual first. Everything. You may not know this, but all your needs are spiritual before they're ever natural. Everything. You say, well, I got a financial problem. Okay, well, but we have to deal with some spiritual. Why do you have a financial problem? Are you missing something in the realm of the Spirit? I mean, a lot of other things we could say about that, but it's all spiritual first. Sadly, this gets reversed, and they try to make it natural first. Quite frankly, guys, a lot of churches that name the name of Jesus Christ, they're just really a religious form of a social club. That's just like, I was talking to somebody one time about, like, you know, you've heard of like the Elks Club and the Moose Lodge and all that. And what is a moose lodge? A moose lodge is a congregation without a religious purpose. That's all it is. Because basically, moose lodges and elk lodges and all these other animal get-togethers, they do the same thing that a lot of churches do, the fellowships and so forth. But the church is supposed to have the, quote, religious purpose. But it's all spiritual first. And one of the things that the shepherd, the 23rd Psalm shepherd, has got to understand is that he cannot succumb to immature sheep. Listen, you're going to have sheep that are constantly begging for a woolite bath. See, what in the world are you talking about? In the natural, a lot of people who take sheep to the county fair or the state fair for show, they will give them woolite baths. Woolite. Well, okay, sheep have what? Wool. Okay? Woolite is a very gentle soap. That's why you hand wash your wool in woolite. And they found that you can use woolite and wash sheep in woolite, and their wool shines like the noonday sun. I mean, so they give them woolite baths. And now, when you're giving them a woolite bath, it feels good to the sheep. Ooh, yeah, a little lower. Oh, yeah, over there, right behind me. Oh, yeah. Don't forget the tail. You got a lot of people in the church, they want woolite baths. Do you understand what I mean? The reason for that is because they have not figured out that the fullness of their identity and self-worth is found in Christ. And so what they want is for the shepherd to constantly give them a woolite bath, make them feel good about themselves, tell them how wonderful they are. In the natural, pastors like it when people come and say, boy, that was a good sermon, boy, it really blessed me, and so forth. You know, that's encouraging. But the truth of the matter is, my encouragement, my self-worth and identity, it better come from my relationship in Christ, and not based upon how many amens I get in the service. I can remember when I was growing up in church in the youth choir, we always knew how good we did when we sang our special song based on the number of amens we got when the song was over. There were times we didn't get any amens. It's like, okay, won't do that song anymore. Pastors, too many pastors, live by the amens. No, you can't do that. You have to live by knowing that you're doing the will of God, whether anybody else likes it or not. Likewise, in the church, you're going to have people who are going to expect that the shepherd will single them out. They don't think of it like this, but will single them out for special attention to make them feel good about themselves. And really what's happening is they are basing their own concept of self-identity and self-worth based on the approval of somebody else, not on the relationship with Christ. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. I'll show you something here. Colossians chapter 2. And I'm using these verses just to exemplify a point here, if you will. In verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, using this for this particular series and this particular sermon, verse 8, beware lest anybody convince you that you've got to have someone pat you on the back and tell you how good you are. Now, granted, we should show, you know, appreciation and so forth. That's just a proper thing to do. We understand that. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the 23rd Psalm shepherd has got to understand that you can't keep giving one particular sheep the woolite bath day in and day out. These are immature sheep. No matter what they say, no matter what they tell you, no matter how much you think they may be mature in Christ, they are immature sheep if they continually expect that somebody's going to rub them behind their ears and tell them how great they are. Giving people compliments is not wrong. Giving honor where honor is due is not wrong. But you have those occasional sheep you better watch out for. It says here that in Christ, verse 9, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything that you need, your self-identity, your self-worth, your confirmation, your affirmation, everything you need is in Christ. I can remember one time the Lord, I don't even remember what this was, but I just remember the result. The Lord had told me to do something and I did it, and then I was praying about it after the fact, and He spoke up and He said, "Thank you, Jim." Now, I don't live to hear that, but when He said that, instead of puffing me up, it humbled me. I mean, I felt, it was just, wow. It was a weird kind of a thing. I don't live to hear God say thank you. My joy is in His presence, not His constant woolite baths over me. You see what I mean? My when I'm in His presence and I have His peace on the inside, I know I'm doing right. In His presence is fullness of joy. When I'm in His presence and I have fullness of joy, I don't need Him saying, "Way to go, Jim. Good job. You done well." I don't need that. I just need His presence. I just need Him. That's my thank you, that I'm welcome into His presence. That's my appreciation, that He welcomes me with open arms. And for a 23rd Psalm shepherd, one of the things that he needs to do is to get the people to understand the relevance of this passage here. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. You're not complete in my approval of you as your local shepherd. I approve of you, but you're not complete in my approval of you. I'll pat you on the back, but you're not complete in my pats on the back. Until you understand that you are complete in Him, and that's where you find your completeness, then what you're going to do is constantly seek it from one shepherd after the other. You'll go from church. You'll give a pastor a certain amount of time to make you feel what you think you need to feel. And if that shepherd doesn't do that, you'll leave that church and go to the next church, and this cycle is going to repeat itself. And the whole time this is happening, not once are you going to God and asking God, "Is this where I'm supposed to be? Am I supposed to leave here and go somewhere?" You just do it based upon what you think. It's happened here over the years. And the thing is, as a shepherd, you know, it's not like in the natural where the shepherd can chase after the sheep, you know, with his little hook and grab them and pull them back. I mean, in you know, the people world, you can't do that. You can't. And it can be heartbreaking if you sit back and just, if as a 23rd Psalm shepherd, you've established your own identity in the approval of the people. Well, they don't appreciate anything I do. God didn't call you to get them to appreciate you. Listen up here, shepherd. God didn't call you to do something that everybody in the church is going to like. God says, "Look, I've called you to shepherd this flock. Now here's what I want you to do. And if you can't do what I'm calling you to do, then get out of your denomination, get out of this group, and get over here. I'll help you. But I'm afraid to step out. I never established that group for you in the first place. Why are you there? Why are you bowing the knee to that organization? You're supposed to be bowing the knee to me. Now, don't be afraid. I'll help you. You obey me, I'll meet your needs. It's not a problem. Because within the structure and upon the path of my perfect will for your life is everything supplied for you to fulfill that will." And so as a 23rd Psalm shepherd, you cannot base your identity on the approval of the people. You're complete in Him. In Him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in Him as a 23rd Psalm shepherd. And you need to understand that. So you can't succumb to the immature sheep. And I'm telling you, man, they will mess things up. And the whole time they're messing things up, they're going to think they're doing what's right. Well, right along with this, as a 23rd Psalm shepherd, you have to understand the parameters of your responsibility. As a 23rd Psalm shepherd, when it comes to "I shall not want," that means that as the shepherd, you've got a responsibility of feeding the people, if you will, verses 2 through 6, or seeing to it that verses 2 through 6 is met in their lives, or available to them, and so on and so forth. However, you have to understand as a 23rd Psalm shepherd, you cannot force change. You can't make people do this. You know, the old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, years ago I came up with a variation on that theme. You can lead a Christian to the anointing, but you can't make them partake. You can take them right there to it, but you can't make them partake. You can teach about praying in tongues and explain, showing God's Word, what it will do for them. Show them right here. I mean, show them. But you can't make them pray in tongues. They're either going to eat this Word or not. They're either going to apply its nutrition to their lives or they're not. But you can't make them. And you have to understand that a 23rd Psalm shepherd, you know, I heard somebody one time say how that the Holy Spirit leads, devils drive. As a 23rd Psalm shepherd, you have to follow that pattern. You must lead. You cannot drive. You cannot force. This is one of the reasons why over the years, you know, comments have been made to me about, well, you know, maybe, you know, you ought to do something here. I'm limited as to what I can do. I'm severely limited as to what I can do as a pastor. Every pastor is. Now, some pastors, they exceed their limits. I mean, they almost want to move in and fix all the problems on the home front. You can't do that. As a 23rd Psalm shepherd, you can only do what the sheep let you do, and that's it. You can't force yourself into their lives. And a lot of sheep, it's almost like they expect the pastor to do that, but you can't. And as you are fulfilling what you're called to do, you've got to understand you can't force change, but you must always be available for verses 2 through 6. Psalm 23, verses 2 through 6, you've got to be available for that. What does that mean? That means that you have to be in a place of being able to minister out of verses 2 through 6, but it doesn't mean that you cause it to happen in their lives. Later on in this verse, or in this chapter, it talks about, He prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Notice He doesn't shove it down your throat once you get there. He prepares the table. Okay? As a 23rd Psalm shepherd, you cannot force change. You must always be available to minister verses 2 through 6 to the people. And you can't allow the unbridled sheep to control. Unbridled sheep are worse than immature sheep. Immature sheep are bad enough, but unbridled takes us a step further. They've gone from just being immature to actually acting in forms of rebellion. And you can't let this happen, because what will take place is this. Those unbridled sheep, they will begin to influence the lambs around them. And they will begin to lead them astray. Since the day I walked into this building as the pastor, I've seen that happen more than once. How that unbridled sheep began to influence the lambs, and the lambs refused to receive counsel. Now, I'm not just from me. I'm talking about from other sheep who tried to talk to them. And they refused to receive the counsel. And they followed the unbridled sheep right out the door. Now, listen closely to this. To the best of my knowledge, in every one of the situations, those sheep are now walking in a degree of darkness. You see, that's a pretty strong statement. Well, now listen, remember what I said at the beginning, how that sheep do not have the right, they have the ability through will, but they do not have the right to leave a flock where the chief shepherd has placed them. If you make that decision and you leave the place where the chief shepherd has placed you, you are walking out of the light that He has established for you in that local flock, and you are entering into a realm of spiritual darkness. Now listen to this. That's never going to be changed until you go before God and make it right. I didn't say go before the former pastor. I said go before God. Because your responsibility is to God first before it is to man. And so you've got a lot of sheep out there that are walking in degrees of darkness. And listen, there are sheep that have done this. They are walking, I mean, for years they've been walking in darkness. Or grayness. Maybe not absolute darkness. But as a 23rd Psalm shepherd, you can't allow the unbridled to control. Here's one of this. Remember I told you earlier stories? Here's one. There was a pastor. He's pastoring this church. And not only did they have immature sheep, but they had a lot of unbridled sheep. And some of those unbridled sheep were in positions of authority. Now, he didn't put them in those positions of authority. They were there when he got to the church. So he's there and he's serving and so on and so forth. And one of these one of these unbridled sheep happened to be the youth pastor. But now listen, if you have an unbridled sheep in a position of authority, everyone who's under the authority of that unbridled sheep is going to be touched by the rebellion of that unbridled sheep. That means every member of that youth group was being touched by that rebellion, that spirit. Every single one of them. And I can tell you right there, right now, when that spirit of rebellion is operating on the youth through that unbridled sheep youth minister, that spirit of rebellion is trying to influence those teenagers to go home and continue to act in this rebellion. This is one of the reasons why you got all kinds of messed up stuff going on in the body of Christ. It's because you've got these issues going on. I'm not talking about transference of spirits, but I'm talking about severe, heavy influence that's going on. Well, anyway, this youth pastor, unbridled sheep, he decided there was something he didn't like, and he just got in worse and worse, till one day out in the parking lot, he actually confronted the pastor and did everything but punch him and challenge him to a fight. I mean, literally got right in his face. And the pastor said, "Man, back off. Get out of my face." And this youth pastor looked at him and says, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" And the pastor said, "You'd love me to take a swing at you, wouldn't you? You'd love me to do this right here, wouldn't you?" And I mean, this guy just got mouthier and it got worse. He said, "I'll tell you what. Here's what we'll do." And the pastor pulled out his cell phone and he called 911. The police showed up. End result was this. The church council had a talk with the pastor.
"What's the matter with you?"
The pastor, they knew the situation with the unbridled sheep. The problem was the committee was also unbridled. Guess who ended up leaving the church? They said, "Oh, you're out of here. You leave. You go now." And the pastor said, "I'm not leaving." And they said, "Well, you live in a parsonage. We'll cut the utilities off." And he said, "Well, as the pastor, I'll turn them right back on." And then they made a few more threats. And he said, "Okay, fine. You go ahead and do that. I will call my friend at the local newspaper and I will let him know what's going on. It's going to be on the front page. And all of you will be exposed to this community for what you've been doing." Well, they changed their tune. "Hey, if you don't have anything to hide, go ahead and put it on the front page. I don't care. Call them." They said, "Well, just hurry up and leave then." So he was out of the church. Now, this pastor didn't put those people in that position. Who did? A previous shepherd. I mean, somewhere down the line, this thing had been established. All you need to do now is get your big black marker and write Ichabod over that church. Listen, you can have emotional services in that church, but God's not working in that church. There's no way, because you've got unbridled sheep trying to take control. But in all of this, the 23rd Psalm shepherd has got to understand his own need for verses 2 through 6. He has to let the chief shepherd minister verses, everything contained in verses 2 through 6. And remember, this is all spiritual first. He has to allow the chief shepherd to minister everything in verses 2 through 6 to him, because if he doesn't, he cannot turn around and minister verses 2 through 6 to the people. He has to do this. He's got to stay in this presence. He can't become unbridled in his walk with God. And a lot of shepherds do this. But he's got to remain with his knee bowed before the chief shepherd. You've got a lot of shepherds that don't do that. The further we get into this, you're going to understand how that there's a major problem in the body of Christ when it comes to, you just don't have Psalm 23 shepherds in the churches. Now listen, before we go any further in this, I want to make sure you understand that I am not presenting myself to you as the ideal pattern for the 23rd Psalm shepherd. I'm learning and I'm growing as well. So I don't set myself before you and put myself up on the pedestal for all other pastors. I'm not doing that. This is a message for all of us, me included. But now, along with this, the sheep have a responsibility for sustaining the shepherd. And here's what I mean by that. First off, healthy sheep are going to desire, verses 2 through 6. Healthy sheep are going to desire, verses 2 through 6. And by the time we're finished with this series and you understand more about what these things represent in the realm of the Spirit, if you don't desire verses 2 through 6, you've got a major problem in your relationship with God. You need this. We all need this. But healthy sheep are going to desire this, and they're also going to understand the reason for verses 2 through 6. Well, part of the reason a lot of sheep don't understand this is because you've got shepherds who don't understand it, and so therefore they don't present it to the people so that they understand it. And so it's like a vicious cycle that keeps repeating itself, literally generation after generation. But along here with all of this, the shepherd has a responsibility to tend to the sheep, but the sheep have a responsibility to tend to the shepherd. Here's what I mean. The sheep have a responsibility to do what they can so that the shepherd is enabled to experience verses 2 through 6 in his own personal life. In other words, you don't need the shepherd to come over and cut your grass and do a brake job on your truck. You see what I'm saying? The shepherd, the sheep collectively within the structure of the flock need to be close. Now listen to this. Need to be close enough as a whole so that there is there is open communication among all the sheep to see to it that the shepherd has the opportunity to experience verses 2 through 6 from the chief shepherd. That's part of what an under-shepherd do what he's supposed to do if he's not getting from the chief shepherd what he's supposed to get? And so collectively, and see, a lot of times you don't have this. You have division in the church, and there's not much communication among the people in the church. If you feel like there's not much communication between you and other people here in this church, you need to initiate the communication. If you sit back and wait for somebody else to do it, forget that, man. You need to begin and introduce yourself to people that you don't know that well. Build the threefold cord, as it talks about, which cannot be broken. Create these relationships. Mingle with the other sheep. Establish this open communication. And listen, there are a lot of people listening to this that don't go to this church. This is for the body of Christ. This is what I'm sharing with you. This is applicable to every church. This needs to be done. If it's not done, then the sheep are making a mistake relative to the role that they play in the life of the shepherd. And each sheep needs to understand that he or she should eventually be filling a role within the local church. Now, there's a time of growth and a time of maturing. I understand that. But the point in time should come to where every sheep is doing something, filling some kind of role. They're in that local fellowship. You have some people that attend church. You guys have been around long enough. You have some people that go to churches, they've been in the church for 20 years, and they're not doing anything. They show up, they sit in a pew, they go home. They don't do anything, ever. That's wrong. You should grow and mature to the point to where you are fulfilling a role within the local flock. One of the things that's really unique in a flock of sheep in the natural, there's a hierarchy that will begin to evolve. Now, I shared before how sheep are kind of dumb, and they are. But there is still a type of hierarchy that develops within a flock to where certain sheep begin to emerge as leaders. The example I gave, the immature sheep that impact the lambs, the unbridled sheep that begin to impact and so forth. Same kind of thing in the natural. And within the local flock, those that God wants to use, and I'm not talking even specific ministry callings, those that God wants to use to raise them up to be a positive influence on the rest of the flock, they've got a responsibility to let Him do that in their own lives. Oh, but I just can't. No, you can't. You're complete in Him, remember? You're complete in Him. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and if you're complete in Him, that means that everything you need to do, everything He wants you to do, is available to you, and He is ready to release it into you to cause it to happen. I've had to learn these things along the way because there was a time in my life where I was too dependent on other people. And I had to learn, I can't be like that. If I'm going to do what God wants, then my dependency has to be on Him, nobody else. Regardless of what other people think, regardless of what other people say, my dependency must be on Him, and I've got to receive from Him in order to do what He desires for my own life. Now, every pastor is going to tell you, well, I do this. But in reality, you guys, even to this point, this is only the third part in this series, already you're starting to realize how that there really aren't that many Psalm 23 shepherds in the body of Christ. And you're also understanding how there really aren't that many that are making the effort to become a 23rd Psalm shepherd. In part because they don't know how. Somebody else is their shepherd and telling them what to do. In the services to come, we're going to be taking a look here in verse 2. What does it mean to lie down in green pastures? What does it mean to be led by still waters? What does it mean to have my soul restored? To be led in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake? And so on and so forth. Contained in this is not only, well, contained in this is the ministry, but contained in the ministry of the shepherd to the sheep, it's not all positive. Because there's correction in here as well. And the correction has to be handled, or else, you know, you can end up with some issues. When correction is not hit, I'll clue you in. You don't want to know a good way to avoid a lot of problems in church? Seriously. If you're listening to this and you're a pastor, you need to get a hold of this. Place what some people would call an excessive, unnatural, overbearing emphasis on praying in tongues, worship, fasting, and the Word, meditation and confession of the Word. Because the people that grab a hold of it in the church and do it, there is an anointing that is released out of them doing that. And that anointing begins to raise up a barrier of protection within the congregation. And this is exactly why in this particular church we have never, ever had the problems that some of these other churches have gone through over and over and over again. It's not me. It's because of what we have allowed God to do in us and through us in our midst.